Hello, everyone. This is Nan Walden, and we're glad to be with you again. Mr. John Walden Sr. is here to help you and give you Bible answers to your questions or any questions you may have concerning the Bible, your life as a Christian, or any spiritual need that you may have, or perhaps some Bible verse that you may not just understand. Now, Mr. Walden, our first question today, or rather, it was a message that was sent in from a listener in Denver, and we appreciated it too, requesting prayer for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mr. Walden, is it scriptural to pray for Christ's soon return?
Well, yes, indeed it is scriptural. In fact, the last prayer that we have in the Bible is a prayer for the return of the Lord. Remember, our Savior promised three times in the closing chapter of the Bible that he would come quickly. In verse 20, he says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." And I'm sure that every real Christian wants to see the Lord Jesus come. I'm sure that that is the prayer of our heart. However, there are some other things which we might do. He tells us that we ought to be loving his appearing, and he tells us in a prophetic picture we have of this in the Old Testament, that the king complained, and he said, "Why do you not say a word of bringing back the king?" So perhaps some of us who know the Lord ought to be doing what we can to win others for him and to hasten his return.
Well, is there anything to indicate that the second coming is near?
Yes, I believe we have many indications. I would hesitate to say that there are any actual fulfillments of prophecy. As I understand it, prophecy has to do with the end times and with Israel's part here on this earth. In other words, the clock of prophecy stopped when Israel was rejected and set on the shelf, and this present church age is a sort of parenthesis. I do believe that we have many indications of the nearness of the Lord's return. He says, "When you see these things come to pass, then lift up your heads and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." And again he says that there are things which will indicate that he is near, even at the door. I'd like to suggest two or three things that you might look for. Not that we are looking for signs, but we can look at them, surely. And we can see that there are many things happening which were prophesied. For instance, we're told at the close of this age would be a time of wars and rumors of wars. There would be unsettled conditions in the nations, and there never was a time when we've had as much unsettled state of things as we've had here in the last few years. Then we're told that the fig tree will blossom, the leaf out, and so we know that the fig tree representing Israel has certainly been coming to life here in the last few years. Israel in the land is a marvelous indication of the nearness of the return of the Lord. Then I think the condition of things that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy about when he said that in the last days perilous times should come, and he indicates the way people will be living, having their own way, careless and indifferent, unthankful, unholy, disobedient to parents. All of these things certainly we see in a marked way in our day. I see where J. Edgar Hoover says that there's been an increase of 11% in major crimes in this past year over the year before. Just think what that means. And then another very important thing is the condition of the professing church. Now, I believe that the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, give us a prophetic preview of the church right through until the return of the Lord. Now, the last of those seven churches is Laodicea. And Laodicea shows us such a terrible condition among the professing people of God that the Lord says, you're neither cold nor hot, and I'm nauseated with you. I'll spew you out of my mouth. And conditions in the professing church today are enough to break the heart of anyone who really cares about the Lord's honor and glory. Divisions among the Lord's people, the profession of being rich and increased in goods and having need of nothing, when actually there is a state of poverty and great need. And worst of all, in the 20th verse of Revelation 3, the Lord Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And here we find the Lord Jesus outside of his own church, and the church perfectly satisfied without him. Seems almost impossible that things could be that bad. And yet, if you look around, you'll see how very bad they are already. The least that each of us who know the Lord can do is to make him welcome in our own hearts and lives, and give him the place that he deserves, and then seek to do what we can to help other Christians to get back to the simplicity of the New Testament teaching. Very definitely, there are indications of the nearness of the return of the Lord.
Thank you. I think that since we're on the subject of the soon coming of the Lord, that we'll take this question next. Are the 144,000 in Revelation 7 part of the church left here during the Great Tribulation?
No, the 144,000 mentioned in Revelation 7 and again in the 14th chapter of the Revelation are not part of the church at all. My reason for saying that so dogmatically is that Revelation 3:10 plainly tells us that the church will not pass through the Great Tribulation. Now, you read that carefully, study it. Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name, I also will keep thee from the Great Tribulation, the Revised Version says, the Great Tribulation. The Lord has promised to keep his church from the Great Tribulation. There are those who say, well, the church has always endured suffering. Why should the church in the present age escape? But we must remember that the Great Tribulation is a time of very definite judgment. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time of judgment on Israel when the Jewish people are returned to their land and God deals with them for the rejection of their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at that time, there will be judgment on this earth, he says, such judgment that no flesh should be saved except those days were shortened. It's a time of judgment, and we're plainly told there is therefore now no judgment, condemnation, to them who are in Christ Jesus. So the church will not be left here for the Great Tribulation. The 144,000 mentioned in Revelation chapter 7 and 14 are all part of Israel. They're very plainly said to be of Israel, and also he plainly tells us that there are 12,000 from each tribe. Now, I'm quite aware that there are at least two denominations that claim that they are the 144,000. One, I believe, has sort of revised that now since their number has increased to more than that. But in any case, they are wrong, and it's very easy to prove them wrong by simply asking them which tribe. Back, you know, in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, when a man couldn't show what tribe he was from, he was put out from the congregation of the Lord. He was defiled because he didn't know his tribe. No, those are Israel, 144,000, and they will be preserved alive in spite of the Antichrist. And they will be those who will share the kingdom with the Lord Jesus, of what we know as the millennial reign or the thousand years reign of peace when Christ reigns here on earth. In addition to the 144,000, the same seventh chapter of Revelation tells us that there will be a great number which no man can number out of them from among the Gentiles. So God is going to save some then. But he has warned us that if we reject the gospel in this present age, that there is no opportunity after. And you'll find that in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 and 11. So if you have heard the gospel, and you know the gospel story of God's love and of Christ's death and resurrection for you, and you've rejected that Savior, you have no hope of a second chance. And I warn you to be ready when the Lord Jesus comes. His coming is very near, and you may not have another opportunity to receive him. Certainly you ought to take him for your Savior and do it right away. And those of us who are Christians ought to be living for the Lord and really expecting his return. I do believe he's coming soon.
I'm sorry, but our time has slipped away.